On Friday's Page One, the momentum changed in Libya. The rebels gave up an oil refining town when government forces opened a prolonged attack. A defeat for labor in Wisconsin, the state assembly voted to take away bargaining rights for state workers. And here in New York, a state senator and a state assemblyman are facing corruption charges. State Senator Carl Krueger is accused of pocketing more than $1 million. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says the momentum shifted in the uprising that shaken Libyan leader Muammar Gaddafi's hold on power. Rebels fled from the strategic refinery town of Ras Lanuf after a sustained assault by government forces. The rebel withdrawal came as the fledgling opposition scored diplomatic gains. France recognized the rebels as Libya's legitimate government. In Washington, the White House announced a 5-point program to isolate Gaddafi and eventually drive him from power, but it stopped short of military action. In Libya, Times reporter Anthony Shadid says there's a growing sense among the opposition that they can't defeat Gaddafi's forces by themselves. Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick says the fighting has reached into everyday life in Tripoli.
We visited a school where one brave 14-year-old girl went out of her way to tell us just what it had been like. She said it had been terrifying, that she had seen mercenaries outside her door, had been unable to sleep because of all the gunfire in the air, and said that even some of her teachers were not fully down with the Gaddafi party line.
Times reporter David D. Kirkpatrick. Times reporter Mark Landler says President Obama is emphasizing pragmatism over idealism. That explains why the president has dialed down the support he gave demonstrators in Cairo. It's also left the president open to criticism that he's losing the battle for the hearts and minds of Arab street protesters. Some say he's failing to bond the U.S. to the changes underway in the Mideast, the way Ronald Reagan did when he said this.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Also on Friday's Page One, European leaders are considering something that for them is radical, cutting back on the wage and welfare benefits that have defined Europe for decades. In return, the European Union would shore up financially troubled nations, including Portugal, Greece, and Spain. The changes originated with German Chancellor Angela Merkel. Times reporter Steven Erlanger says they'll be debated on Friday by leaders of 17 European countries. In Wisconsin, the state assembly voted to cut bargaining rights for most government workers. That gave Governor Scott Walker what he'd insisted on over nearly a month of large-scale protests. Walker said he'd sign the bill as soon as possible. He says it will save jobs and help balance the state budget, but it could spell trouble for Republicans who won in November. Already, there's a list of potential recall elections in the spring. There are also plans for more large demonstrations starting this weekend. Television critic Alessandra Stanley watched the House Homeland Security Committee hearing on terrorist sympathies in the Muslim American community. She says the hearing was jarring and unusual. Republicans accused Democrats of sacrificing security and common sense for political correctness. Democrats said Republicans singled out Muslims and ignored things like hate crimes by white supremacists. Alessandra Stanley says the debate got so raw, it even eclipsed the subject of terrorism. Here in New York, a state senator and a state assemblyman were indicted on corruption charges, along with a lobbyist and five others. Federal prosecutors say the suspects were involved in broad-based bribery. They say Senator Carl Krueger pocketed more than $1 million. Officials say that when they searched lobbyist Richard Lipsky's home on Monday, they discovered $102,000 in cash. Inside Friday's Times, Boston mobster Enrico Ponzo disappeared in 1994. He was suspected of attempted murder and extortion. What no one suspected was that he reinvented himself as Idaho rancher Jay Shaw. Federal marshals tracked him down last month. Now he's being extradited to Massachusetts. He's been calling friends in Idaho and asking if they'd please feed his cows. A cousin of Afghan President Hamid Karzai was killed in a raid by NATO and Afghan forces. They also detained the man's son as a suspected Taliban commander. That's raising questions about whether Karzai's extended family has ties to the Taliban or whether bad intelligence led to a raid on an innocent person's home. The political standoff in Zimbabwe is ratcheting up. Energy Minister Elton Mangoma is a member of the opposition government that's sharing power with Robert Mugabe's party. Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, who's also a member of the Movement for Democratic Change, says the country is in crisis. Friday's Business Day section says federal regulators agreed on an oversight deal for three Johnson & Johnson drug plants. The three factories have had quality problems for more than a year. They made children's Tylenol and other over-the-counter medicines that had to be recalled. The agreement says Johnson & Johnson will hire an independent expert to determine whether plant operations meet federal standards. It also calls for making sure that quality control systems are in place. A judge still has to approve the agreement. That's our preview of Friday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. From our newsroom in New York, I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.